So let's review. Today's daf began with the Mishnah at the end of Daf Chav Beis, where we learned that if a man was in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and realized that he's about carry, the halacha is that he should not stop short altogether. He should rather abbreviate each of the remaining brachas. We also learned that in the Mishnah, if someone was immersing himself in the mikveh early in the morning just before sunrise, if he has enough time to emerge and dress and say Kriyat Shema before sunrise, then they should do so. Otherwise, he should cover himself with the water of the mikveh itself and say Kriyat Shema. The Gemara will discuss this halacha in greater detail later on in the dafim to come. The Gemara began. Tan Rabban, Hayikari ba Torah v'nisker shu balkari. If the balkari, the one reading the Torah for the tzibur, realized that he's a balkari, he should be megamgim v'gayra. He should read the rest of the kriya quickly. Remeir, however, holds that he should not read more than three psukim. We also learned that if someone was in the middle of the tefillah and realized that there was tzaya, excrement, in his vicinity, he should move away from it at least the distance of 4 amos until he's 4 amos away from it. It's best that he move forward and put the tzaya behind him. If that's not feasible, then they should move sideways. If someone was in the middle of the tefillah and lost control and urinated, he should wait until he's finished and the urine has stopped completely before resuming. Tosfos discussed whether he should wait until his clothing dries somewhat, to the point where it's not tefeach amenas latfeach, meaning that it's not so wet where it could wet something that touches it. At this point, the Gemara presents a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda about how he is to continue davening. One opinion is that he should continue his tefillah from where he left off, and the other opinion is that he has to start over again from the beginning, the reason being that he obviously already needed to urinate when he began the Shemoneh Esrei, and as the following brisa teaches, his whole tefillah was invalid. In a similar vein, we learn the brisa that if someone feels the need to urinate as he is about to begin Shemoneh Esrei, if the urge is very mild, so he could put it off for at least the time it takes to walk a parsa, 4 mil, then he may daven and the Shemoneh Esrei is valid. Otherwise, his tefillah would be considered a te'eva, and he should not daven until after relieving himself. Rav Shmuel ben Nachman explained that this is based on the principle of Hichon Lekrasa Lekech Yisrael, that a Jew needs to prepare himself properly before addressing Hashem in tefillah. The Gemara continues, Tan Rabban, Hanichnas Lebeis HaKisei, Choylitz Tefillah Beruchik Dal Ramas V'nichnas. The Brisa discusses how someone should proceed if while he's wearing his tefillah and he has to defecate. We learn that there's a difference in this regard between a Beis HaKisei Kavur, an established outhouse which already has been used and contains excrement, and a Beis HaKisei Arai, which has not yet been used. In the case of a Beis HaKisei Kavur, he needs to take off his tefillah while he's still 4 amos away, and he doesn't put them back on afterward until he's 4 amos away. In the case of a Beis HaKisei Arai, he doesn't have to take off his tefillah until the last moment, but afterward, he has to move away 4 amos before putting them back on. And how does he safeguard the tefillin while they're off? The Brisa presents 3 views. Bishami say he should put them in the window that is facing the street, where they'll be protected from the rodents that were all too common in those places. Bishil say that he should hold them wrapped up in his hand, and Rebbe Kiva says that he either holds them wrapped up in his hand and his garment, or puts them in the side of the window facing the Beis HaKisei, but never on the side of the wall facing the street, because of a very disturbing episode that happened where a prostitute absconded with the tefillin of a Talmid Chacham and caused a terrible scandal which led him to commit suicide. The halacha is that he holds them wrapped up in his hand and in his garment, making sure that the ritzuis don't protrude as much as a tefach. The Gemara then presents a machloikis regarding whether he has to take his tefillin off in a Beis HaKisei Kavua just to urinate. Rav says that he doesn't, but Rav Ada Bar Masna says that he does, since in those surroundings he might forget himself and defecate. Rava agreed with this stringent view, and that indeed is the halacha. It would seem from this Gemara that the issur to urinate while wearing tefillin is only in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, but elsewhere it's permitted. The Shulchan Aruch, however, brings the Rambam's opinion that it is forbidden to urinate anywhere while wearing tefillin. We also learn that when taking off tefillin for the night, he should put them into a kli, a utensil, so that they don't rest directly on the floor. If the kli was designated to hold tefillin, then it has to have a tefach of space inside, or else it's bottled to the tefillin, it's like a mere extension of the tefillin, and doesn't serve to segregate them. But if it wasn't designated to hold tefillin, then it works even if it has less than a tefach of space inside. The Gemara continues and tells us that when Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Nachman went to Beis HaKisei, if they were holding a Sifra Dagadata, a Sefer of Agadic Torah thoughts, they would leave it outside with their students, but they would carry their tefillin with them inside, saying that since Chazal allowed holding the tefillin in one's hand in the Beis HaKisei, they wanted the protection that taking the tefillin with them affords. At the beginning of Amud Beis, we learned, Tan Rabban, Lo Yochas Adam Tefillin B'yad. A person should not say Shemoneh Esrei while holding tefillin, a Sefer Torah, a knife, money, a bowl, or a loaf of bread in his hand. Since these are items that he would be concerned not to drop, Therefore, holding them would compromise his concentration. Likewise, he should not sleep or take a nap while wearing tefillin. We also learned several other halachas about proper conduct when relieving oneself. One should be as modest as possible, exposing only two tefachim in front of him if he's a male, and one tefach behind when defecating. Also, a man who's urinating while standing, as in a basic kisei arai, should not hold his tefillin because he uses his hands to wipe his feet afterwards. In a basic kisei kavua, where he urinates while sitting, this isn't a concern. Later on, the Gemara teaches, Amar Bishlok, Haroitza likonis lesudis kva, choylis tefilo v'achakach nechnas. If a person is planning to join the sudis kva, a formal meal, he should first remove his tefillin, as Rashi explains, because he might become intoxicated during the meal and behave in a way that's not becoming for tefillin. Rabbi Yitzchak holds that he should remove his tefillin before entering the dining room, whereas Rabbi Chiya says that he may remove them inside and put them next to him on the table until Birchas Hamazon. Towards the end of our daf, we learn that the container in which one keeps his tefillin has kedusha of its own and should not be used to hold other items such as money. The Gemara explains that there are two steps that are necessary for the container to acquire kedusha. First, hazmana. It is designated specifically for the purpose of holding tefillin. And second, sarbe. He has to actually have used it to hold the tefillin. This follows the view that hazmana lav milsa, that mere designation alone is not enough. However, Abaye holds hazmana milsa, that hazmana alone, even if the container was never yet put to use, is enough to give it kedusha.